Testified this morning that you are special, you are amazing, and He is blessed with you. I feel God is saying He is blessed with us as a congregation. Of course, we can grow in many areas. And immediately as I speak to you about what God is saying to you, you are thinking about all the things that you can grow in and all your sins and all the obstacles that you experience in life and all your shortcomings. And maybe you don't feel that special and maybe you don't feel that powerful. Maybe you don't feel like you are in a place of victory this morning. Who of you, let me just see by a show of hands, who of you feel like you are in absolute victory this morning? Okay. Who of you feel, I'm on my way there? I'm not there yet. Okay. You see, we know what the right answer is, but I actually want honest answers this morning. And I want to get closer to you. I want to get as close to you as I can. I'm going to climb off the stage as soon as I can. The song that was playing here is called Glory, and there's one phrase that... I think you can put it up there if you're following on the there we go. My message for this morning is entitled Shouts of Joy. But if you can just go to the next slide, the words are next slide please. Thank you. The words are, lift up your heads, open the doors, let the King of Glory come in and forever be our God. And it ties in so well with the scripture that Siba was reading this morning, that God says we need to come into His courts with praise and with thanksgiving, with a lifting up of our voices. And this scripture, a song here says, lift up your heads. And I was reading a newspaper yesterday or a magazine, I'm not sure what, about mealies that had to lift up their heads. You know, and I was listening to Dolph this morning, and he was saying that on the edges of the land, some of the mealies have gone to lie down. Is that right? What's mealies now? Maize, is that right? Maize, or corn, or whatever the right word is there. But, you know, it's like, in Afrikaans, we say, tell your kop op. And I wonder if that saying doesn't actually come from agriculture, van mealies af. And sometimes when your water is drained out and you feel you're going through a dry season in life, and you are like that mealie, that you're bending over and you feel like the weight, even your own weight is pulling you down, and it's like your head starts to hang and dry out. And God is speaking today, and I hear His voice clearly, and He says, lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. And He's not saying that to us as a slap on the back or on the bum and says, come, opus jy. That's not the way I see Him saying that today. It's like He is proclaiming it over you and I. It's like the voice of God is thundering to His mealie land here in front of us. And this morning, and He's saying, be lifted up. Lift up your heads. 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 I was listening to someone, I think it was Amanda, that was saying, what was that saying she gave this morning as I walked in there? Where your attention goes, energy flows. Put it differently, where your eyes are, there your energy will go. If your eyes is downcast and if your head is hanging down, then your energy is going to go and it's just going to drain out. And you're going to feel like, I have no energy. I have no strength to carry on. I feel like it's difficult for me to lift up my head. But I tell you, once you lift up your eyes, your head goes with. And as your head is lifted up, your neck goes up and your back goes straight, and the Spirit of God comes to strengthen your spine up again. And it's like you feel the exhilaration and the strength of God. And it is my absolute prayer today that God's going to raise us up. And He's already doing it as I'm speaking. I see it in the praise and worship that God's Spirit is moving, and it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. As the word of the Lord came this morning, and He said to us clearly, He said, it is a new day. It is a new beginning that I give unto you, as individuals, but also corporately. I'm going to read from Joel chapter 3, verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a warrior. Let the weak say, I am a warrior, or put it differently, let the weak say, I am strong. That is sort of my introductory scripture. And then I'm going to play you another song a little bit later that would sort of take it from there. But I remember some years ago, maybe 10 years ago or so, I was attending a Rhema celebration / IFCC conference, and a pastor by the name of Tommy Barnett came to minister there to us. And it was such a special time. And the Lord just reminded me of that. And I'm going to share just a few thoughts with you and some of his testimony that he shared it, of how God spoke to him the very same word we received this morning prophetically. That God wants to reach out to those who are lowly, those who are downcast, those who are suffering, those who do not esteem themselves, and those who are not esteemed by others as well. He says, I want to take you and I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to build into you and make you become a blessing. And so Tommy Barnett shared with us this message, that a message of hope, but he started off with his testimony of how God spoke to him to start what he called the Dream Center. In the middle of Chicago, in the slums, in the poorest of the poor areas where all the drug addicts and the prostitutes and the street people are all together there. It's people who don't have money. They have all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. It's like the untouchable area, the most dangerous area in the whole city where many gangsters are operating. It's not a highly esteemed place. It is a place of great darkness. It's a place of great despair. It's a place that people don't want to touch. They don't want to go there. And God was saying to him, Tommy, I'm going to send you in there. And I'm going to cause you to lift up those people's heads. And God's going to do it. And he did it. Because Tommy went in there and he said, God's got a dream for the city center of Chicago. God has got a dream for the people who are down and out. God has got a dream for those whose millies are hanging down. And God says, I am here in the city center of Chicago to come and lift you up by my spirit and by my hand and by my love. God sent Tommy there and his son joined him and they started to minister to people. And God spoke to them and they got one of the highest buildings, or one of those high skyscraper buildings. It was a dilapidated old thing, almost ready to be blown up and you know, replaced with something else. And they somehow God provided for the money, and they bought that place, and they started different kinds of ministries, simply just meeting people's needs, touching lives one by one. And so one ministry became a second, became a third, became a fourth, and God was just raising people up around them. In their, under their hands and under their influence and ministry. And God spoke to Tommy so clearly, and he said to him, Tommy, you need to look at people differently. You need to look at them through my eyes. See, because Tommy, you look at people and you put on their forehead a number 1 out of 10, or a number 3 out of 10, or even a 0 out of 10. But Tommy, I want you to know that on every head I see, I only see a 10 out of a 10. And Tommy, you need to change your heart. You need to change your mindset. You need to look at people through my eyes and bless them and lift them up. So he did. Because God believed in those people. And he caused Tommy to start believing in those people. And at the third station, the people started to believe that God is with them. And that God can use them and raise them up. You see, The message that Tommy shared with us was entitled, The Miracle is in the House. And he was basing that on the story of the prophet that came to the widow. And he said to her, give me your last bread. And she said, no, I cannot, because this is indeed my last piece of bread. I'm going to take the flour and the oil, make a bread, and then my son and I are going to eat it. We're going to die. And he said, no, you give that to me. And God will cause the flour and the oil that it will not run out for this whole period of drought. The miracle, that the seeds for that miracle was already in the house. The flour and the oil. And God took that flour and he took that oil and he said, I'm going to multiply this. I'm going to bless this. And then God blesses the flour and the oil for 3 years. It does not run out. When Jesus is asking to the multitudes and the crowds, he says, is there anyone here that's got food? One boy comes with five fishes and a handful of loaves of bread. And God said, Jesus said, I'm going to take this and I'm going to feed 5,000 plus people. At another time, 4,000 people plus with this, and I'm going to multiply it. God is into the multiplication factor. God is into lifting people up. God is into taking people and raising them up. And you know what's the most amazing part for me of this story? As Tommy started to celebrate the seed that God had placed in the house, and as he started to rejoice over the people sitting next to him in the pews, and I need you to look around you today, because God is saying, the people that you see in this room are my blessings for this town. You need to take a very good look at every person seated here today. Every single one. Not escaping any single one of them. And God is saying, these are the people that's going to change lives. These are the people that I'm going to lift up and cause them to lift up others. And raise them up from the lowly places. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, in every aspect of life. But mostly starting with the spirit man. You see, because as those people in that difficult area of Chicago, as they started to meet Christ, and as they came to the realization that they are a someone in Christ, then in Christ they can do all things, and that they can make a difference, and that with Christ is for them, then who can be against them? Once they started to grab hold of the truth that they are not nobodies, but they are somebodies in Christ, and with Him they can do things. They themselves started to raise up ministries. One guy had the wheelchair ministry, and he would go build a special van and a special kind of bus, and they would go from place to place and pick up everybody in town with wheelchairs and bring them to the church. And somebody would say, yeah, but don't you have faith? You know, why don't you just pick these people up and let them just all be healed? Well, it didn't happen that way, but there was compassion, and those people got saved. They got born again. They got Jesus. Then another guy stood up and he said, I'm going to start a bus ministry. And I don't know how many buses they have, probably hundreds by now. And they just go around picking people up, and that's their ministry. Another guy had a soup kitchen. And so I can carry on, and Tommy started listing it to us. The number of ministries. Over 100 ministries. Not church members. Over 100 ministries in one church, run by the people that were once on the street. They even have different languages, Hispanic and Asian languages, and they have who knows how many kinds of services run by the people who were on the street, run by the people who were down and out. And it's not only the down and out, it's the high and out as well. Those who are wealthy and full of money, but they don't know God, and they are lost just as much as the man on the street. But I remember sitting there listening to that, and I said, wow, this is amazing. What God has done in this man's life. And he was telling us the story of that Jesus was speaking in the mustard seed. And that we need to have faith like a little mustard seed. And that mustard seed is also like a seed of destiny. That God would speak to Tommy and say to them, not only does every person that you look at have a tent on their foreheads, but each one of them is a seed. Each one of them, I've put inside of them a seed of destiny. And if you start to water that seed, and if you start to give that seed by word, and if you give that seed by faith, and if you speak to it by faith, you're going to see that seed grow up and it become a mighty tree, a big tree bearing much fruit and producing seed that will also produce other trees as well. He tells us the story of how he was sharing this principle at a men's camp or some kind of a men's gathering. And one of the guys, he was handing out little mustard seeds. And he said, come, each one, take one mustard seed and hold it like a seed of destiny before God as representing your destiny and your seed of faith. And say, Lord, here is my seed. Make it grow. Make it multiply. Use me, O God. And one of the men who came up from a little place, his name is T.D. Jakes. One of the most well-known speakers and preachers and pastors in America, if not in the world. And he too once held a little seed in his hand. Because there was somebody that believed and said, you can do it. He tells the story of how T.D. Jakes would come up to him after and said, you have changed my life. Thank you for this word. I'm going to take this and I'm going to take this message into the world. And he did. And I want to tell you, you need to look at the people around you today and say, maybe some of us are going to be famous one day. Not famous for ourselves, famous for Jesus. Because as we make Jesus famous, there's a byproduct. We become famous ourselves. But the focus is never on us. Never on me. It's never even on the church. It's not about shofar. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about lifting people up and raising them up. I remember at the end of that meeting, we were so stirred. And each of us got a little mustard seed and, you know, I prayed over my mustard seed and that God would move in my life as well. And then we started to sing a song. And that's the song I'm going to play to you now, and I'm going to speak about it a little bit. It's that second song, Just Get It Ready. And we were a whole bunch of pastors from Shofar that attended it. We were probably about 15 in the group. And I remember us standing in the front of the church, hooked in together, just closing our eyes and singing the song, singing our hearts out. As God was doing something in our lives, God was doing an operation in our hearts that day. And the song just carried on and on and on and on, conservatively for half an hour, but I think it was closer to an hour, that we just stood there receiving God's surgical hand operating on us and operating on our hearts, cutting out our orphan heart, cutting out the lies and the names that other people and we ourselves have written on our foreheads, cutting out the false identities, cutting out the false hopes, cutting out the despair that we have found ourselves in, cutting out the disqualification tags that people have put all over us, just knowing that God is with us. If we can play that song and the words can also be reflected on screen, just listen to the words and if you know it, sing with if you can. You can put it quite loud, thank you.
Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the blind say I can see. It's what the
I just sense God's love in this room today. And as we sing this song, we're going to sing it a little bit later together. But I want to talk about it just verse by verse. And the first one starts and says, "Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me." And it's in the same tone that God said, "Let there be light." That God said, "Let there be plants. Let there be stars in the heavens. Let there be." In other words, this is something that we declare by faith, and we receive it by faith as we echo, co-echo with the voice of God as we say, "Let the weak say, I am strong." And God is proclaiming it today over you and I, like a farmer would proclaim over the land of Millies if it was Angus Buchan. And say, "Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. And let the blind say, I can see." You see, the strength we do not find in ourselves, it is not a strength that we can boast about. And the Apostle Paul makes that so clear. He says, "It is in my weakness that God's strength is made perfect. In Him I boast, and I boast in my weaknesses." Because God's going to take those weaknesses and He's going to lift it up. And I want you today to come before the Lord and take your weaknesses before Him and say, "Lord, these hands have become weak. Lord, these are the weaknesses in my life. But God, come and make me strong. Come and lift me up." And that you declare even unto yourself, and you speak to yourself and say, "I am strong in God. I receive the call of God to rise up. To say that I am strong." You see, God wants you and I to say it ourselves. He says, "Let the weak say, I am strong." He's not saying, "Let the weak become strong." He says, "Let the weak say it themselves. Let the weak declare it themselves and come to a point where they say, 'No, I am no longer weak, but I am strong in God. I am going to rise up from the lowly places. And I am strong in my God.' Let the poor say, 'I am rich.' And that may or may not be earthly riches. Mostly I think not. I think when he's speaking about the riches here, he's talking about being rich in spirit, being rich in a heart, being rich in happiness and in joy. I have seen people all over the world, throughout our continent especially, who are very poor, whose circumstances are very bad, some of them sleeping in the street, some don't having houses, some having tattered clothes, but I see joy, I see a richness in their spirits. And he's saying, "Let the poor say, I am rich. I am rich." Why? Because I have the greatest prize, the greatest gift of all, the gift that God gave to Abraham when he said to him, "Abraham, I, God Almighty, am your exceedingly great reward." And that is a richness and a wealth beyond measure. When I know that I have God, God has given himself unto me, and regardless of my circumstances, regardless of where I find myself financially or not, that I can know I am rich, I am blessed by my God. And I do believe we will then also see the Lord's hand lift us up physically as well. And we will see prosperity, natural prosperity, come in as well. Then, "Let the blind say, I can see." And let us usher in the miraculous hand of God. But also insight, spiritual insight into life and spiritual matters. But then the verse says, "It's what the Lord has done in me." God has done it. I didn't do it. I didn't pick myself up by my shoelaces. I didn't pick myself up by my hair. God has done it. And it's past tense. He has already done it. He has already strengthened me. He has already declared me rich. He has already declared me someone who can see in the spirit and who can be healed in the natural. It's already done. But then the song carries on. And it says, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. And it just takes us back to the cross of Christ. And as we sang earlier this morning, that we kneel, to be lifted, to be high is to kneel down. And we need to kneel down before the cross of Christ today. Hosanna, I was looking up that word, it's like an exclamation of praise, like happiness, like yay! Hallelujah! Singing, Hosanna, 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 yes, hallelujah! Because of the Lamb that has done something in my life. He has come and taken off not only my sins, but the guilt and the shame and all those other things with it. He died and he rose again. Without him, we are nothing. Let me continue to verse 2. Into the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away. From the heavens, mercy streams of the Savior's love for me. And I believe that as we look upon the cross, and as we look upon Jesus Christ, and we behold the sacrifice that has been made for us. You see, we can read in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that Jesus did not only die for salvation, but he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. He came to set people free from demonic oppression. He came to set those free from suffering under injustices. He's come to do so much restoration, so much healing, spiritually, physically, emotionally, in our hearts, to look upon the cross and to bring every need to him and to say, my needs have been on the cross. And it's there. And therefore I can come to Jesus and say, Lord, I know that my needs fulfillment is in you. My healing and my restoration and my being lifted up is in you. My being I find in you, in Christ. Into the river I will wade, there my sins are washed away from the heaven's mercy streams of the Savior's love for me. Satan comes. And I'm going to rearrange the furniture a little bit. And he brings over us like a black cloak that changes this white shirt of mine. And he comes and brings guilt and shame and condemnation that he brings upon us. And he says, look at you. You're a loser. You're a failure. Look at the sin in your life. And you're sitting here and there are secret sins in your life and people don't know about it. And you haven't shared it. And you even have an accountability partner, but you haven't shared that either. And this condemnation comes. And you think you're the only one. But you're not. There are many people caught up in this blanket that Satan wraps around us. I'm going to read it to you. Sin, condemnation, guilt, shame, failures and inabilities. And he throws your inabilities in your face like a black mantle. He says, you are not able. You have failed. And he brings back every failure. And every time that you've repented and you've fallen into that sin again, and you repent again and you fall into that sin again, and the blanket of black darkness just becomes thicker and thicker as you have risen, stood up and fallen again, and stood up and fallen again, and his condemnation, his grip on you becomes stronger and stronger. And I believe that God wants to come and rip you off, this off, and give you a white shirt again. Satan comes. What is the result of those things? I'm going to give you the five D's of the devil. D's of the devil. Depression. We sometimes feel depressed when we have this cloak around us. Discouraged. Disabled. In other words, like we want to do things, but it's like we've just been disabled, like our plug has been pulled. Disempowered, more or less the same thing, where we've just become weak. And then demobilized. It's like we were mobilized and we were ready and running. And some of us, when we were young in the faith, we were running around for Jesus, telling everybody about Jesus and being so excited. And I've spoken in the week with somebody again. It says, yes, when I was young in the faith, man, I was just testifying everywhere. But then this cloak of darkness comes upon us and disables us or demobilizes us. And I believe that God wants to come and remobilize us today. to say, those who have run for the gospel shall run again, but they shall run faster. You may be older, you may be tired, you may be weary, but God is saying to you, I will lift you up. I take as an example Smith Wigglesworth. He became born again at the age of 56. Still today, decades, many decades after his death, people still buy his books. Lives are still being changed. Pastors and churches are still moved by a man long dead. And he found Jesus at the age of 56. And God said, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to use you. You're a plumber. He struggled to read. If you read his books or his notes, his own handwriting or his own words, it's terrible language. It is. I've read it. You can hardly make out what the man wrote there. His language was so bad that other people would sort of try and guess what he was saying and rewrite his writing so that we can at least understand what he's saying. Yet God took that man and he said, I'm going to use you, whom everybody else despises, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to take that cloak of darkness off you and lift you up. And I want us today to come to a place where we're going to shake off every cloud of darkness, every cloak of depression, everything that has come to demobilize us. Maybe it's been a hurt. Maybe it's been an offense. Maybe it's been a disappointment. Whatever it is, where you've been disappointed, or trust that's broken, relationships that's broken. Maybe somewhere in a church or even in this church, you may have been hurt. You may have been disappointed. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. And then you carry this black sickness over you and you feel my hope has failed and my expectation was not realized. It did not materialize. And I believe that God is saying today is a new day. I want to restore you. Because God does it. It's not the church and it's not me. No man and a woman can do that for you. No man and woman and pastor in church can lift you up like that. It is God Himself. This is what the Lord has done in me. No one else but the Lord. Amen. But it says there, into the river I will wade. We need to come to the river of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the river of life. Come to Him and let Him wash you clean. And that's the reason why we stood as a bunch of pastors for nearly an hour, weeping, just breaking before God, because the rivers of Jesus was just washing us clean, taking away our condemnation, taking away our failures, taking away our guilt, taking away our shames, and re-equipping us and establishing in our hearts that we are the beloved of God. And regardless of past failures, and we will fail again, Isaiah 40 says, even the young men shall fall and they shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord, they shall rise up with wings like eagles. And therein lies our hope, that not if we fall, but when we fall, we can get back up. We can get back up every time and rise up stronger than before, more glorious in the presence of God than ever before. Which is why I hear the voice of the Lord saying, yeah, this day, 5 February, is a new day. It's a new day. It's Brendan's birthday. Hallelujah. It was my dad's birthday as well, so I'll remember it. 1 John 1 verse 7 to 9. I'm just going to read verse 9. If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the river that washes us clean. And then God's mercy comes from heaven and He says, I'm going to pour out mercy upon you in a place where we do not deserve it. When we feel like we don't deserve the love of God, that we don't deserve a second chance, or that we even feel that those who've broken our trust or failed us don't deserve a second chance or a tenth chance because they've blown 9 chances already. But when the mercy of God comes to Jesus, the disciples ask him, how many times must we forgive? How many times must we trust again? And Jesus says, 70 times 7. In a way saying to them, it doesn't matter, you just keep on doing it. In the same way, the river of God's mercy never runs out. God's river of mercy runs into your life and into your heart and into my life. And God wants the river of mercy to run into my life and through my life. That I may show mercy to others as well. That I may show mercy to others that which I have received from God. That we may be merciful because we serve a merciful God. Jesus tells the story of a man who was forgiven great debt by a king, but he refused to forgive somebody who owed him a small amount of money. The king hears about it and he says, I forgave you millions, but you would not forgive him 10 rand. Therefore, I hold before you your debt, and you shall pay it all with interest. Saying that if we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven ourselves. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely we receive mercy from God. And freely we need to give that mercy to others. Let me move on. Verse 3. I'm going to close with another scripture after this. I will rise from waters deep into the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. I will rise up from rivers deep. Waters deep. I will come out of the dark pits. I will come out of despair. I will come out of a place of hopelessness. I will come out of a place where I've given up and say, I'm going to rise up and I will sing salvation songs. God has saved me from this terrible depression. God has saved me from being demobilized and cut off from the body of Christ, from being cut off from thy giftings, being cut off from my joy, being cut off from whatever, saying that I'm going to rise up and I'm going to sing that Jesus Christ has set me free. I have been saved. Not only my soul for eternity, but in my life, in this life on earth, I have been saved. Amen. So that brings me to Psalm 126, and I'm going to read that whole psalm. It's a short, very short psalm. It says, a song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. In other words, it's like a dream that comes true. It's like living in a dream. This is like unbelievable. When God restored the fortunes of Zion. In other words, there was a time when there was no fortune, when there was no blessing, when there was despair, when they were in these waters deep. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The nations say that and they declare it. The Lord has done great things for us, we say, and we are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord. In other words, they are declaring these things even before the actual restoration has taken place. In other words, they see it in the Spirit. They see the Lord speaking. They see the Lord restoring, and they are rejoicing, and they are jumping up, and the people around them are saying, the Lord has done this. And they say, the Lord has done this for us, and we are glad. And yet, thereafter comes the manifestation of it. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Sounds very similar to the song we just read about. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, that's your seed of destiny, that's your life that you're sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. You're going to bring in your harvest. You're going to come before the Lord God Almighty, and you're going to bring in your harvest. And you're going to come forth with shouts of joy. I'm going to read this again. You could follow with me. And every time there's three places where it says shouts of joy. Will you just shout it out aloud with me? Shouts of joy. Can we have a practice round? 1, 2, 3. No, no, no. Shouts of joy, the word. Okay. Let's try it again. 1, 2, 3. Shouts of joy. Okay. Can we try it again? Shouts of joy. Okay. A song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams of the Negeb. Those who sow in tears shall reap with. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with. Bringing his sheaves with him. I want to talk about those tears. Those tears are the tears of repentance. And it's the tears of breaking before God. Where we come before the Lord and say, Lord, I have failed. I have blown it. I have made mistakes. And I am weak. And I bring my failure before you. And I bring my shame before you. And I bring my discouragement before you. And I ask, my Lord, that you pour the rivers of mercy upon me. And that you pick me up from the deep waters. And I speak to you with you today. I'm not preaching at you. Because I too stand before the Lord today. And there are failures in my life. And there are mishaps in my life. And even some of those things have affected you, individually or as a church. And so I stand with you today and say, Lord, forgive me where I have failed, where I have sinned, where I have hurt others, where I have disappointed others, where I have broken trust. Forgive me, O God. Forgive us as a church, Lord, where we have disappointed people, where they may have come with an expectation of being loved and they got neglected. We missed them. They fell away and we did not follow them up. We did not seek them out. We started off with joy, but then we lost energy. We lost faith. We lost hope. Lord, restore us this day. Let your river come and restore us this day. And so, for you as an individual, to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I've sown my tears. I sow it. Because God says, the harvest shall not come, if we look at this scripture, unless we sow with tears. The restoration cannot come unless we come and cry before the Lord. Break our hearts. Come honestly. No hiding. Because every sin and every failure you try to hide from God is the one that shall remain. It shall not be washed away. But the one that you bring before the Lord, and even before people, these are the ones that shall be washed away. So I bring before the Lord my failures, and I bring it before you as a church. Just close our eyes. Lord, thank you that you are the great restorer, that you give us new hope and new strength every day. But this day, Lord, 5 February 2012, I ask my Father that you will bring healing and restoration in this room like never before. That you will lift us up like never before. In a moment, we're going to sing that song together. And I want you to do two things. I want you to give before the Lord today your tears. Tears of failure, tears of sin, tears of disappointment, whichever tears they are, and come and jump into the river Jesus Christ. Let him wash you clean. Let him restore you. Let him bring healing to you. And secondly, after you've done that, you come before the Lord with your mustard seed, that seed of destiny, and you say, Lord, heal my seed, the seed of my destiny. Heal the seed of my calling, that I may bear much fruit. Let us stand together.